testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Testing.
15.
Oh, so Justin's left.
Everybody here?
Russ is...
I'll try to find everybody. Is Russ coming? Is Russ coming?
Yes, sir.
Does he know where we're going?
Yeah, quorum can start.
Cheryl said she told everybody when she called you to remind her.
She's perfect.
Well, we got a quorum anyway, so we can go ahead. We're going to go ahead and start the meeting now. Can Russ have a pledge of allegiance?
Yep.
I'll start.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Then we'll do a roll call.
Mr. Adams? Mr. Albright is excused. Mr. Basso?
Here.
Mr. Gibbany?
Here.
Mr. Briner?
Here.
Mr. Heffelwith?
Here.
Mr. Kraus?
Here.
Here, four, sir.
Okay, very good. Go ahead and read the notes.
Case approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that City Council meetings will begin at 4:00 p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chamber, second floor, located at 151 South East Capitola Avenue.
All right, consideration of minutes. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting?
Move approval.
A motion for approval?
Second.
And a second? Go ahead. Call the roll.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Basso?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbany?
Aye.
Mr. Heffelwith?
Aye.
Mr. Briner?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Very good. Okay, we'll move right into it. Flat vacations, PLV 10-0001, City of Ocala, the petitioner. And Mr. Evans.
Actually, the petitioner is Dr. Scott Summer. There was an error on the agenda.
Okay.
I apologize. Dr. Summer has filed an application of site plan approval to develop an 11,410 square foot building on parcels 9, 10, 11, and 12 within Heathbrook B2 flat, B2 North flat. The utility easements between the parcels, lying on the parcel lines, would be beneath the building, are not needed for provision of utility services to this property or to the adjoining property. And therefore, they're asked to be vacated. Staff recommends approval.
Okay. Any questions for staff? Ross, you caught up here, you know where we are?
Yep.
All right. Any questions for staff? Okay, very good. There's a petitioner here.
Mr. Gibbany?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Briner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Land use and rezoning, LUC 10-0005 and ZON 10-0006. Collins and Ocala property, LLC. Patty, you have this one too?
Yeah. This is a petition of Collins and Ocala property. It is a large-scale land use plan amendment. This is the only one we've had this year. With some changes to state statutes, we're able to process the zoning change through P&amp;Z at the same time. Although land use will go forward to council with transmittal to the DCA, and only if found acceptable will the zoning go forward after we have DCA's report. The request is to amend the land use from, well, the property was annexed in 2005 and still contains the county land use designation and county zoning. The property owner is requesting a land use change from commercial land use in the county to retail services land use in the city with a rezoning from county zoning of B4 and B5 to city B4 general business. This is the old drive-in and flea market property. As I said, it was annexed in 2005. Bell Chase lies to the west, 441 to the east, and the Coke property is on the east side of 441. I've superimposed the county land use over city land use map so you can get a sense for land use within the area. The South Pine Avenue corridor is predominantly a heavy commercial area characterized by numerous modular home sale centers, RV centers, and car sales. Adjacent to the north side of this property is a metal fabrication business. Mr. Bourne, the owner of that business, called today to inquire as to what the request was, and he indicated that he had no objection. Other highway-oriented businesses exist on the south side of the property, and Veolia Environmental Services has a waste transfer station on the east side of 441. An aerial clearly showing the drive-in. To the northwest is Roosevelt Village. There is a small parcel that's also the Woodman Lodge adjacent to this property. This is the entrance to the drive-in. Looking through the fence towards the concession stand and the flea market sheds in the back. This is the Woodman Lodge that lies within Roosevelt Village. And this is a single-family residence northeast of that lodge. These are the only two properties in Roosevelt Village that abut the drive-in. They have an commercial land use, interestingly enough, across the single-family. This is the metal fabrication business to the north of the property. Of the modular home sales across the street, across 441. This is one of the used car sales directly south of the drive-in. A motel south of the used car lot. And a shot of Veolia. And on my staff recommendation as an exhibit to these proceedings. My recommendation on both the land use and the zoning case. And based on the findings of fact within that recommendation, staff recommends approval of the land use and the zoning change.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for staff? My only question would be the land use and zoning you're going to put on this property is pretty similar to what it was in the county. I mean, it's about the most equivalent.
Yes, it is. It's our B4 is less intensive than their B5.
And what kind of, since it does back up to residential in the back, what kind of buffering requirements will there be there?
20, typically it'd be 25 feet or 10 with a wall and plantings.
Anybody else?
I own a...
Not yet.
I own a portion of a residence.
Visitor's first.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Like this same thing?
I don't think...
You can add if you want to, you don't have to.
Well, other than, when the city came to me and was interested in annexing my property as an accommodation to the city, we were glad to do that, with the understanding that my zoning doesn't change. And I'm here to answer any questions or any objections.
Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you, good. Okay, now we can open up to public. State your name and address when you get up there to the podium, please.
My name is Jasmine Brown. I reside at 1911 Southeast 52nd Street. It's a little white square sticking up between y'all and next to Bell Shape. So we have lived in the green seat. And my mother also and I both own the property. She purchased it in 1985. So she's been there quite a while. And I guess one of the things we would like to know is what changes would be affected on our kind of property as well as the aquifer, because it is, everything is connected here in Florida. And while the drive in certainly is quite a bit of an eyesore now that it's gone from into disuse, we'd also be concerned about what else would be going in place and how that would affect everyone else, especially since there are still residents that are not all that far away. And the orange ones that are in these zone commercial right now are private dwellings. They're parking to Bell and Mose, a dog room, which I'm not sure what happens to women who live there, but that's all residential. But it technically is commercial. So I just think you want sort of an idea of why the city approached for the change in zoning, and particularly I think it counts the city, and how would that benefit the people who reside in the county? What effect would there be?
Well, I'll say something real quick, because I think as far as the zoning and land use goes, it's pretty much like I just said before. It's pretty much the same as it was before it was in the county, now it's in the city. So it's basically the same land use and zoning, and the same type of projects could have gone on the piece of property. So I really don't think anything has technically changed other than it being in the city as opposed to the county. I don't know if you want to maybe address
that. That's correct. I mean, the property was annexed. Prior to any development taking place, they would need to bring the land use under the city's comprehensive plan. So they need to do the land use change so it's not county land use, it's city land use. And then the zoning has to be consistent with the land use, so they need the city zoning. So this is really a consistency issue right now. At some point when there are developments, they will likely need to plat the property. They'll need to go through site plan approval. One of the things that would be looked at, they will need permitting for on-site drainage retention and stormwater, and they will need the necessary permits from St. John's River Water Management District, and likely also from DEP.
Because I'm not really terribly familiar with the details, but I know there were reports of flooding in St. John's, the Roosevelt Village area, and of course
They'll be required to retain their stormwater runoff on site.
Okay.
So they'll have to develop a drainage retention area in accordance to all the design criteria of the city, St. John's, and the Department of Environmental Protection.
Okay. So maybe we file a DEP and so forth.
They'll need all those permits.
And in terms of a voice about what happens to that property if it becomes annexed into the city, the council residents still have I'm learning over here about civics, but do we still have a voice in what goes on, or is it now a city, so thanks for your opinion, but you can't, but you don't. Well, it is sitting now, but.
Yeah, it's already sitting.
Okay, all right. We mail notices to everyone within 300 feet, so that's why, even though you're in the county, you did get a notice and are invited to come to these public hearings.
But if one is sitting, we would be.
Okay, it's sitting now.
It's been sitting since 2005.
The property lies within the municipal limits of Ocala.
Okay.
They pay their property taxes, their ad valorem taxes, you know, they pay the city taxes.
I see.
But the land use remains the county designation, and the zoning remains the county designation. Typically, that gets cleared up a little sooner after annexation, because they do need to have a city land use designation and a city zoning, and that's what we're doing with this process.
And was there any expression of a possible builder or anything that might be other than me?
Yeah, my conversations with the property owner, then there isn't anything imminent.
I mean, there's a certain amount of, they said there was a bit of a mind for factor, and it hardly accounted beforehand, but was, I think, upon memories of a lot of people who were going to have. And there was a future where it would be open, which would have been a great keep, and would afford to go to a movie in Carlos. So there was a bit of nostalgia there, but I know things change, and I just wanted to try to find out if there's anything on what we're doing at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And they would be required to have central water, connect to central water and sewer, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
For most commercial projects that would come through.
Yes.
So that might address that aquifer question that she had.
Anyone else from the public? Okay, close that off. Bring it back to the board. Discussion?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Everybody good with that? Call the roll.
Mr. Kesslerling?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Mansfield?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Mr. Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Gary?
And that motion was both for the land use and the zoning.
Okay, moving on, PUD 10-0001. Commissioner, City of Ocala this time, correct?
We previously processed a rezoning and conceptual site plan approval for budget quarters. The rezoning was approved by City Council on April 20th, and this is the final site plan. What we had out here was an area for newer board members. All of this property had been in one ownership, and it was employee housing for employees working at the charcoal plant. Some years ago, someone bought the property and did an illegal subdivision. They didn't plat the property. They wrote leasing down prescriptions and sold off a number of the houses, but the lots do not meet the minimum size requirements of the zoning. The houses do not meet the setbacks. They've been on a central water meter, and whoever was supposed to pay the water bill quit paying the water bill. We had a very bad situation out there, and in order to try to improve this, we needed to first bring the lots into compliance with the zoning regulations. So the process of the PUD that created district regulations specific to this property, so that all these lots except for one now conform with the zoning requirements. Look, this is just some quick shots along Martin Luther King. This is one of the main streets looking west along 18th Street. You can see how close those houses are to 18th Street. Some are closer than 5 feet when typically the setback would be 20 feet. It's along 17th Place. Again, along 17th Place. And this is 18th Avenue between 17th Place and 18th Street. There had been a road there at one time. When the city installed a water line, we removed the asphalt. And it's our proposal with this PUD that will be just a green open space
for use by the community. One of the things we've talked about over time is trying to do some landscape improvements in this neighborhood, and we're working with an organization that may donate some trees for us and do a community outreach program in order to plant and sod this area to make an immediate impact on the community. Utilities run hither and there through this neighborhood overhead. We'll also be in process of individual plats. We said this is an illegal subdivision. The property is not platted. It needs to be platted before anything can happen, before anything can be occupied. So the city will be preparing a plat for signature by the owners and their mortgagees and cleaning up the easement locations. And then Ocala Electric is going to go out and install new poles, new wires, so that it's not quite such a spider web out there. That's looking over to the old charcoal plant. And again, looking towards the charcoal plant area. We're also looking to see if it's going to be possible to plant any street trees along Martin Luther King. So our goal with this entire effort was to resolve the nonconformities of these houses to return to a habitable condition, also get them platted. They're also going to need to be vacating any septic tanks that are out there and connecting to the city, installing a meter for city water and connecting to city sewer. We'll be able to issue building permits for any renovations that might need to be made and hopefully improve, not only improve property values out there, but also provide some very needed housing stock. Based on our findings of fact contained in the staff recommendation, we recommend approval.
Any questions for staff?
So, basically that, I mean, that's why the lots vary in so many different sizes, because it's, you're just meeting all the setback requirements, just overlaying the existing structures, basically.
Yeah, the city surveyor went out and surveyed the properties based on the meets and bounds descriptions from the deeds. And in looking at that, we crafted the PUD requirements to match what was existing in the, you know, on the ground to bring them all into conformance. We are requiring one house, you can see on 18th Street at MLK. This property, that's going to need to be torn down. It exists partly in the city right-of-way. But we've modified the size of that lot, so if the owner wants to rebuild, he can. He actually owns all the lots on 18th Street on Martin Luther King. So he could tear down that one and rebuild a new unit there.
Anything else? You said that the... you guys are going to go out there and redo the utilities and do a new plat. And who's responsible for that? Who's?
There is a sheet 3 as part of the PUD plan, which indicates where the utility department has requested easements. And when they have all of the easements in hand, they will go do that maintenance work. They said that they haven't done much maintenance work out there over the last few years. It's been uninhabited, but because we have the easements in hand, they'll do that work.
So this is just maintenance work? It's not actually relocating utility
lines?
Some
of it will be relocation as part of the maintenance. They've got some old poles out there that need to be addressed.
Okay. To actually clean up all the easements.
There are some utilities that run across properties without easements as well.
I'm just trying to, you know, seems like the city of Ocala is going to be spending some money on this property. I mean, they get reimbursed for any of this stuff that they have to do out there.
No.
Well,
that was with property value.
Yeah, that was part of the issue all along, though, is how do you, it became impossible to clean up the issue because it was one party who owned it, illegally subdivided, was gone from the picture, left all of the people who bought the individual lots with essentially nothing. So unless they could somehow all get together, the problem could never be fixed. unless we proactively tried to fix it. The only way to fix it really was to do the PUD so that we could recognize the lot sizes and then pick these kinds of things up. The other things that come into play is sewer. You have multiple units connected to singular septic tanks, and everyone's going to have to connect to sewer eventually. So there's some untying and some unwinding to do still.
The property owners were completely unable to solve this problem on their own. So we could have let the condition continue and deteriorate, or we could step in and resolve the issues.
Is the entrance off of Martin Luther King 18th, I mean, is it going to be closed off?
No.
So that's the main entrance into the property.
You can come in on either 17th or 18th.
Either one.
Mm-hmm. And 18th Court comes back around and goes around the block.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Do we actually have a petitioner or an owner or anybody who'd like to speak?
I'm an owner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add to this?
Jason Levitis, 105 Southwest.
Well, there's step up to the.
Sure, no problem. I just want to say that.
State your name and address again. I'm sorry.
David Levitis, 105 Southwest 63rd Street Road, Ocala, Florida. 34471. I think she said it quite eloquently. It just would have just festered and just total disaster of Busby Quarters. I own a house in there, plus I have some contracts on some other houses. My company is DEJ LLC. I've shown the board my work before. I take the worst house in the whatever neighborhood, low, middle, or high income, and make it my business model. Says that I'll make it the nicest house on the street, if not the nicest house in the neighborhood. I've shown the board my work before. As I said, I bought a house in Busby Quarters, and unfortunately, it all unraveled 2 days after I bought it. And I had nightmares, you know, with the city. We've gone back and forth, and the city finally said, you know what, nobody's taking care of this. And you know what, Mr. Levitis, you're right. So, you know what? Let's get together with all the owners and let's make it right. And the city's done a great job so far. So, I mean, I can't thank the city enough. They've been a great help, and they're helping move forward and making that a nice neighborhood. And that's my goal. So, that's it.
Open up for public discussion if anybody has anything to say for or against. No? Okay. We'll bring it back to the board. Discussions.
What a mess.
Yeah.
There's no discussion. I'll move to approve.
We got a motion for approval.
Second. Mm-hmm. Somebody down there seconded it.
You or I in one. Second.
Russell second.
All right. Everybody good with that? Okay. Call the roll.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbons?
Aye.
Mr. Pepperland?
Aye.
Aye.
McCrown.
Moving up in the world.
I said aye, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, now our code amendments.
Of a Dallas parking code is fairly inflexible. Parking requirements are based on ratios, the number of spaces that would be needed to support a given use, either based on square footage or number of employees, number of seats. And those standards usually they evolve over time. They're national averages. Some jurisdictions may do a study as to how it is working in their community, but for the most part, people are relying on averages from the Institute of Traffic Engineers, their standards. We don't have any ability to
adjust the number of minimum parking spaces. They have to be provided on site, or you could do, go through a public hearing process to provide them within a certain radius of your property, subject to an agreement with another property owner. We thought that it might be time to look at another alternative that's used in a number of jurisdictions, and that is for an engineer or other professional to prepare a study based on specific use, site-specific issues. And that study, if it were requesting less than a 10% or less reduction in the required parking, is something that could be reviewed by the site plan review committee. If they wanted a greater reduction in parking, it's something that would go through a public hearing process with adjoining property owners notified, and that would be heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission. A couple of things would happen with that. We're hoping that that would help spur some redevelopment. It would also provide us with some site-specific data as to how different uses and different properties actually are generating the need for parking. So the ordinance provides that those studies would consider the type of use, the surrounding available public and private off-street parking, shared parking opportunities between users, hours of operation of proposed and neighboring uses, surrounding on-street parking, loading needs and demand, and parking trends for similar development size and use. Right now, the ratios in the code book, you know, they may be right. They may be too many parking spaces. They may be too little parking spaces. It's a number. It's an average. So with a site-specific study, we think we may have better data and be able to address some of the issues that, particularly in the infill areas, may be seen. I'm accustomed to also having, when we talk about hours of operation, if you look at different users within any complex, they may have different peak hours. And so you don't provide more parking than you actually need. You never provide parking for the busiest day of the year or for the most outrageous success story. That's too much parking. If there's issues down the road, I mean, we have shopping centers in town where they may have been developed under older standards. They may not have as much parking. And if there becomes an issue, that tends to get resolved through tenant mix. If a tenant's customers start not coming to that location because they can't get parking, then the tenant speaks to the property manager or looks for another location, and they bring in a less intensive user. But let those things market even those issues out. So we proposed an ordinance that would provide for parking studies that could be considered for reduction of the amount of minimum requirements. And happy to answer your questions.
All right. Any questions?
I do have one. You kind of brought that up a little bit. You know, so somebody comes in and they do a traffic study on their site-specific use. Theoretically, they say, okay, we're going to have maybe off time, so we're going to use parking spaces that aren't going to be used, some right adjacent to us, so we need significantly less on our property. Then that business goes out of business, and the next guy comes in. How does the city get involved with that? I mean, are you going to go back and tell the new, I mean, and especially if they don't have to come in for a site plan or anything, I guess they just pull an occupational license. Do you tell the new guy that buys the property or leases or whatever, oh, by the way, well, you're going to be required to either come up with a new study to prove that it's the same thing or do more parking? Or, I mean, how, or are you just going to let the market purely, hey, if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, the tenant will leave and go somewhere else? I mean, how do you handle those situations?
I'm proposing to let the market handle it personally, although there can be agreements worked out.
Okay. I'm I'm not disagreeing with it. I mean, I think it'd be wonderful to have that flexibility. But I tell you, probably what will happen is you'll have everybody coming in telling you their property is not going to generate nearly the amount of improvements that have to be made.
Well, some of the uses that generate the most traffic, yeah. Restaurant. And if you have,
sure.
A shopping center that comes in and they've brought in the site plan, they need the one parking space for every 250 square feet for a shopping center, and 80% of the center.
Well, what I'm thinking about is not a shopping center, because a shopping center has lots of shared parking. You know, there's lots of options there. I mean, the way that this is written, it can be a standalone piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's probably
more than likely it's going to be somebody coming in to the standalone.
Probably. And, you know, so there's less flexibility of having that bleed over on adjacent pieces of property. I don't know that that's going to be an issue, but I guess potentially it could.
Okay. Can I interject there? Just to add my 2 cents to that, and maybe this helps out the discussion. But if that's the case, you know, on a standalone piece of property, and they're not requesting to do as much parking, they still can't build a bigger building. I mean, there's going to be some excess.
Yeah, they can build a bigger building, but there might, you know, say a restaurant, which is based upon the number of seats.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've just dealt with enough people. I could see, well, Mr. Gray's not here, so I'll use his name in vain and everything. You know, he'll come up and he'll say, we've got a unique business model, and we're going to have lots of walk-in traffic, and, you know, we just not going to need it and everything. Somehow that goes out the window, and then somebody else comes back in that's more of your traditional thing. So,
The city would have the ability to require, could enter into an agreement. If I have an office building and I say I need 30% less parking because of what my business model is, the city could say, well, that looks, you know, we're a little nervous about this, we're willing to give it a try, but we want to see on your site plan
enough room for that expansion.
An area for expansion.
I've had clients before that says, I've got a great big building, but we're going to use it all for warehouse, so you really don't want to do it as an office. And then a couple years down the road, so that's all.
Yeah, my point was actually there's going to be room for expansion, I think, because, you know,
they just don't have to do the actual parking, and if you're trying to.
Right, if they come in and they've got office in a large warehouse area in the back, then when they come in to renovate to turn that warehouse area into office, that's changing the rules of the game on which the parking deviation was granted.
So, okay.
Also, if they come in and say it is a shopping center, and we're going through the public hearing process, they say that no more than 25% of the square footage in the center will be restaurant. You can hold them to that.
It's typically not going to be a problem in shopping center cases.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody, the internal argument and comparison has always been Churchill. The Churchill has too many restaurants, but really, you've never gone to Churchill and not been able to find a parking space.
You might have to walk a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
you'd have to walk a little bit, which is
feet
the perception problem.
Right.
Hey, I had to walk
more than the
second row.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a problem exactly where you said it potentially could be. But we have those problems now. If you change a use, you may not have enough parking, and
you think that there's enough written in the code that gives the staff the ability to really be able to make sure that we don't run into a problem down the road.
That's part of the reason why we kept the percentage relatively small as to what staff could handle us through the site plan review committee. Because when you get above 10%, I still think, you know, 10-15% is relatively small, but because of the potential impact on neighboring properties, I thought it was necessary for it to go through the public hearing process and for there to be notice and for there to be the public review and discussion, not just at a staff level.
Would there be any recourse down the line if, like, they did come, you know, and say, we don't think we're going to need this much parking and we have less, and it turns out they do need that much parking, and you're getting a lot of runoff parking, overflow, and you're using other people's parking lots, and those people start complaining?
Mm-hmm.
What's the recourse at that point?
What becomes a code enforcement issue?
So you could go back to them and say, okay, you know, you've proven you need this much extra parking, you now need to do this extra parking.
No.
They may not have any sense to do either.
Yeah, it's therein lies a little bit of the rub that it could become a nuisance. So it's going to be, you know, my people are parking on your lot. It's a tow-away issue and a code, like Patty said, it's a code enforcement issue. as much as anything. We do have in the code currently the ability to have shared parking arrangements. If you go to public hearing, you can either own the property or it could be someone else's property looking 300 feet. You go to public hearing. So hopefully, you know, if it became a major issue where there were repeated code violations, I don't know, maybe, you know, we could get them back into here.
The market, because if you're getting, all of your customers are getting tickets, you're going to move away.
Yeah.
And our dealings are all with the landowner, not with the businesses. And most of the situations that are changed, it's going to be a tenant change, and we aren't concerned about holding the tenant for that. We have to go back to the landowner and say, okay, you've got a problem, you have to work out with your tenant. They are no longer a hair salon, they're a restaurant.
Where I worked previously, and I don't see Ocala going in this direction, but where I worked previously is we kept track of parking very closely in these multi-use centers, and if someone has a lot of high-demand tenants, parking high-demand tenants, they may have a unit they can't lease. I don't see Ocala going that way, but that's something that property manager could do to address any issues and complaints he's getting from the tenants. But that if, I would imagine that if they have, you know, a restaurant or a doctor's office and they have parking issues and the doctor says my patients can't even get to see me, I'm moving out,
yeah,
he's not going to look to lease to another doctor's office.
Yeah. Doctor's offices are a good example, too, because there's a whole variation between how many patients they have come in, how many they don't, how many they see. So sometimes it's an overkill, sometimes it's not. Mr. Chairman, I'll just say, while there potentially could be some problems, I think that this is really a good move, because that's the only way we're going to be able to really encourage this infill that I think staff is talking about so much. And, you know, that's just part of the growing process, you know, that I think we're going to have to deal with in some parts.
And this is the first step in. You're going to see some other parking related items come before you, you know, expansion of the parking exempt zone, and, you know, we've done nothing with compact cars or, mm-hmm, or anything like that. So as we go through the planning process, the urban planning consulting process, and we get into code issues, we may see some of these things resurface again.
We'll be looking at some of our generation rates also, yeah, as to whether or not they're accurate. And if we have someone come in and use this section, we'll get hopefully some good information.
It makes sense to limit this by the size of the parking facility and say that the 10% play for staff works up to a parking lot of 50 cars. And if you get over and above 50 cars and we get up into the parking lot or a shopping center type parking lot, then you are required to look at it a little bit more. I mean, you can handle 10 cars and you have to knock one out, it's not an issue.
Right.
But you start knocking out 50, looking at 50 spaces and you're making 5 cars go away, you could create an overflow issue in surrounding properties, my thought.
I mean, usually what happens, you know, people, and Mr. Kessler can speak to this because he's seen a lot of them,
right,
too, is that you don't, once you get to a certain number, nobody wants the minimum any longer. When you get to, probably it's about that number, actually, then you start to, well, I can't live with the minimum. I know how many I need, and it's more than your code requires. That's typically what you run into. Now, doctor's offices sometimes are the exception, and by my calculation, the one place that we're probably short on requirement is in doctor's offices sometimes, not every doctor's office, but occasionally.
It's interesting, I saw some codes in my research that you need to get approval to provide more than the minimum.
Yeah.
They have maximums. If you wanted more parking spaces, you had to go to the board for approval because you're adding an impervious area.
Well, actually, I could see that on big parking spaces, you know, because, I mean, we've got some shopping centers that just have big paved areas that will never get filled up except for on Christmas, you know, that one week before Christmas, maybe.
Those are retailer requirements,
yeah,
most of them.
Yeah.
Well, all
anything else? Well, I better open up to public real quick just to make sure nobody wants to say anything. All right. Nobody? Okay. Bring it back.
If there's no further discussion, I'll move approval.
All right. We have a motion for approval.
Second.
Okay. But we have one down here.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good. All right, call the roll.
Mr. McCloud?
Aye.
Mr. Beckwith?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Beeden?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
I can't wait to argue with you.
These are my mind.
Wait a minute. We still got individual comments. Anybody got any comments? That'll do it. We're adjourned.
You did a great job, Mr. Graham.
I'm still waiting for somebody to have a comment.
Yeah.